Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Almost said his last name. And Asa Gray.
Anthony's not his last name?
No, Anthony is my last name.
Yeah, Anthony's totally his last name. Good luck finding it. Anyway, moving forward. PlayStation Now, coming to PC.
Yay.
It's kind of cool. They have a bunch of PS3 games. It's basically... most of the games that are on the service now that are available on PlayStation 4 and PS3 will be available on PC, as well as an adapter they're releasing where you can hook up a PS4 controller to your PC and actually play it with the original controller.
See, I'm more excited about that than the PlayStation Now service, because the PlayStation Now service has yet to even interest me.
Yeah, me neither.
Even a little.
I don't like the idea of... I don't like any of how that service works. Like, nothing about it sounds pleasant. I wonder if they've changed it, because I heard they were going to, and I actually meant to look this up before.
Wasn't it basically a subscription service that you can rent video games through?
Correct.
Yeah, so you pay the subscription fee, and then you also pay to rent the actual game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I thought they had changed it to where they just, like, bumped the subscription fee. So you don't actually have to pay for the individual games, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, see, I know that's what it was originally, which was just really dumb. You were basically paying a subscription fee to be able to pay the rental
fee.
It'd be like
if you paid the $10 a month for Netflix and then paid $2
each
per
time
movie.
You wanted to stream a movie. Yeah, yeah. Which is just ridiculously silly.
Cutthroat Kitchen would make me broke.
Yeah, it looks like now maybe you do just pay the subscription fee and you can play whatever you want.
What's the subscription fee?
It is $20 a month or $45 per 3 months.
It's not bad if I wanted to play those games, though.
I was about to say, because they've got over 400 games is what they advertise. And it would be, like, if you could actually manage to play, like, more than a couple of games in that month period, then I could see it being worth it. But otherwise, it's still just not, I don't know.
Like, I could see this being a bigger deal on PC, because there's no other way legally to play
a lot of the PlayStation games. Because, yeah, that's the big deal. Like, this is the first time you've been able to play, like, any of the PC gamers out there. This is the first time they've been able to play any of these games without, you know, buying a PlayStation system.
Right.
And I know more than a few people that bought PlayStations simply because they couldn't play certain games they wanted on their PC.
Right.
So would this cover, like, God of War, Kingdom Hearts, stuff like that?
Yep.
Because I'm trying to think of Sony games.
Assuming that it's offered through the service, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah.
I would, that would just be such a nightmare if.
Yeah, like they,
those
they
kind
do
of
have
flagship franchises aren't available. And it's only PS2 and PS3, right? Like, or
yeah,
limited.
No PS4 games right now.
Or, well, I mean, no PS1.
Don't think so, no.
Because I'd want Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're remaking it.
Yay, that's what we need. Another remake.
Yeah, he's going to be a Skylander.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
do you
he
not
is.
Remember that?
No.
Yeah, it looks like
I browned out during
the E3
PlayStation Now does have all of the God of War games.
That's good.
It's got Final Fantasy 13, 13 2, but it doesn't have the third one. I don't remember what it's called, Lightning Returns or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's got a good set of games. And it even has like the remakes of the PS2 version, like the God of War and God of War 2 HD versions, as well as the PSP games. So, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things. It's not, if you like renting games, it's really not that bad of a deal, because there's a ton of PS3 games on there that are really good. Like, you can get the Assassin's Creed series, and since it's streaming through their service, it would probably play a whole lot better than if you bought it on Steam, because anything from Ubisoft is just garbage on Steam. So, well, not anything. Most games.
I'm thinking of EA. Because EA has their own
Origin. Yeah.
And I thought Ubisoft had their own service.
Uplay.
Okay.
But that's more of like a, I don't think it's
membership
a,
yeah, type thing.
Yeah, like you have to,
it's
like if
free.
You buy a game, yeah, it's, because you can't buy games through Uplay.
Mm-hmm.
But every game that you buy goes through the Uplay service.
Mm-hmm.
And you earn achievements and stuff like that through Uplay, and you can buy in-game currency for certain games through Uplay. Yeah, no, it's gross.
It's
Uplay
like
is
if
terrible.
You want like 3 weapons from Far Cry 4, you have to have Uplay.
No.
I haven't bought them.
Nah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Uplay is it's a thing. Origin is also a thing. I really wish EA would just go back to letting Steam handle their games. Like it was simpler back then.
I will say too, as far as I know, because like literally I have been PC gaming for a week now, and I have played two games, Marvel Heroes and Overwatch.
Yeah.
But like, there aren't any EA games that immediately spring to mind that I would rather have on PC than console. Because like, there are still games that I would rather get on a console. But
yeah, I mean, it'll be that way for a while. Like, especially there are certain games that are just optimized better for console, like the Mass Effect series. The first two Mass Effect games were awful on PC. Mm-hmm. Well, the first one for sure. The second one was better, but it wasn't right.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't originally supposed to hit PC. It was just going to be an Xbox 360 exclusive. Mass Effect in general was supposed to be an Xbox exclusive. And then when BioWare got bought out by EA Games, they started, you know, putting it on multi-platform.
Like, no, you make for everything.
Yeah. It's like, no, we own this, so this is how this is going to happen now.
Which I prefer so much more.
Yeah, I mean, I like games to be multi-platform, but like, that was one of the big, like, Mass Effect was one of the big flagships for Xbox 360. Like,
yeah.
It was a system seller. That game was so good, good.
And I know I'm in the vast minority, but I didn't like the first one, the little bit that I played, because I've said it before. It's the same with like Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
If my accuracy rating is low, I hate that. That's what determines my perfectly lined up headshot to miss. It's like, I love Borderlands. If the gun's accuracy is low, you can't keep it steady.
Yeah,
it's just constantly the reticle has a
it bobs.
It bobs up and down, left. It just, you can't actually hold it steady.
That's what happens with Mass Effect.
See, but I feel like in the first one, or then definitely Fallout, it's like, okay,
Fallout.
I've got this shot lined up perfect. Why did it go wide right? Oh, now they see me. Well,
because Fallout used like the RAD system. If you ever try to do that with like a gun you're not trained with, VATS. Then it goes VATS. Sorry, yeah. RADS is the radiation reader.
Yeah. Clearly,
I don't play much Fallout. But yeah, the VATS system. Like, if you use a gun that you don't have proficiency in, then it just goes all to crap.
Yeah,
which I understand that system in like more melee combat style games. Like, are like, you know, the medieval style games. Like, if they're like D&D is where they get the system.
Oh yeah,
from.
Like if you pick up a longbow, but you're only trained in using a long sword, you're not gonna have
a good time. Or, you know, vice versa. Like, if you can only, you know, shoot bows, you're gonna be really, really bad with the sword.
Yeah.
You can swing it forward, but that's about all you're gonna do.
And I understand that. I'm not saying that it's a bad system. It's not one that I like.
I mean, I think it's a bad system for guns.
Yeah.
Like, it's one
it
of those things
be for
like
Fallout 4.
This rifle aims different than this shotgun. Well,
a little bit. in Mass Effect, the way it worked, like you said, your aim went all crazy. Because I remember I did sniping in Mass Effect 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the class that I went with, you know, they were able to use snipers. But even before you start leveling sniper up, it still just kind of like swayed all over the place. But once you hit like rank 1, it goes almost completely steady. And by the time you hit rank 2 in the level up for snipers, you're just, you know, it's like Halo 2 sniping almost. There's no movement whatsoever. And yeah, like I liked that system. And the thing I tell everybody with Mass Effect 1, you have to get out of the Citadel. Like, you've got to go through the little like intro tutorial mission where you're off planet. And then you have to go to the Citadel and do everything there. And once you get off the Citadel, the game becomes amazing. Because BioWare, like back when Drew Karpyshyn was the writer for all of BioWare's games, like that was the standard. Like, if you bought a BioWare game, the gameplay may not have been great, but you knew the story was going to be incredible.
The story is what got me through Knights of the Old Republic.
Yep.
Which is still like, it's one, if it's not the first, it's one of the first RPGs I ever actually finished.
Yeah,
it's like that and Golden Sun, I remember, were the two that I actually...
Golden Sun was another really good one. But yeah, like the Knights of the Old Republic, that was Drew Karpyshyn. Jade Empire was another really, really good
one that I started, but then I don't remember why, but I loved it, but I never finished it. And it's that, like, that setting and that kind of lore, super into, especially like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah.
But like, everything about that game was great. And the combat system is still one of my favorite combat systems of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so much fun. And I played through that game like 3 or 4 times. Like, Drew Karpyshyn was a champ. He left at the end of, like, he didn't do Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm.
He left to pursue just writing novels.
Huh.
Which I keep meaning to look into, like, see what he's written lately and actually read them because, again, his storytelling.
Great storytelling.
So good. I don't know how well it transfers to novels, but man, could he write a good video game. Anyway, we've gone way off topic now.
No tangents.
Well, we can, from Mass Effect. Oh, never mind. I'm still talking about PlayStation stuff. PlayStation Plus price is increasing, which, oh boy, it's going up to $59.99 on September 22nd for a 1-year subscription, and it's going up to $29.99 for a 3-month subscription. So, same price as Xbox Live. We are getting no additional benefits for our extra prices.
I was going to do a bit. I'd be like, oh, but we're getting like an extra game a month. They've promised that we're going to get better. It's not just going to be two indie games or a outdated sports game.
Nope.
Some kind of AAA? No.
Okay. Nothing. It's at this point, especially since they are now the same price, Xbox Live Gold is a better value than PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And the reason they give is, so well, it's expensive to host servers and the current marketing trends justifies. No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't.
You are incorrect.
You just look at Xbox charging $60 successfully, and you're like, oh.
We can do that.
So wait a minute. It's charging $29.99 for 3 months or $24.99?
I think it's $29.99 for 3 months. No, it's not. It's $24.99. You're right.
I about to say, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, no, it's...
Because if it was $29.99, that would be a hard sell for me then.
Uh-huh. Because it's still $10 a month, and then $25 for 3 months, and $60 for 12 months.
Gross, especially because it's only happening in North America and Australia.
Yeah, it's not a universal price hike.
But the UK isn't getting a price hike. I don't think Japan is it. It's going up.
No, yeah. I mean, to be fair,
I'm confirmed in that, but
I think the transfer rates or something like that, they are already more expensive than ours is.
Well, I mean, Australia is already like, if you like video games in Australia.
Sorry.
Like,
well, that's also like the exchange rate in Australia is kind of silly too, and it's weird because they use dollars.
Yeah.
But I can look it up real quick. Like USD to.
Because it's like a game that goes for 20s. Like, because I saw a thing. Something was on sale on Steam. It's $20 American. It was $79.99 in Australia.
They're
just like
Christmas.
No, and that $20 American is like 27 Australian dollars,
because it's one US dollar is $1.33 Australian.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to math it,
every $3 I'm not gonna be able to do the math.
Come on, buddy, you got it.
All right, so for every dollar you spend in America, you're spending $4 in.
No,
Australia.
You lost it.
Never mind.
Every $3 you spend US is $4 Australian.
Ah, dang it.
You were on the right track.
I was on the right track.
I was almost like, proud of you.
You tried so hard. And got so far.
Because I was using Scott, end, I was using Scott Steiner's math, and it didn't work.
That's a thing. Yeah, like games in Australia are stupid expensive. And I think like the first time I realized that, I was watching Yahtzee from The Escapist. It was talking about like whenever he had to buy games to review himself, they were, you know, $80 a pop at release.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, like if it's 1 1/3 percentage rate, I mean, it's technically cheaper because it would be $90. Like $60 US is worth $90 Australian, if I'm doing math right.
Yeah.
Then, so
we're not going to have a calculator whenever you are just out in the world. Oh, really now?
Hey, you got that.
This is third grade math teacher.
No one could have expected smartphones.
Wrong.
And then smartwatches, whole new ball game. They don't even have to reach in their pocket anymore.
Nope. I can actually ask my watch things, and my phone will look it up, and then my watch will tell me. It's great.
You become the Power Rangers without like all the karate moves.
Speak for yourself.
I am pretty upset about that. Why increase the price? That was one of the brilliant things about PlayStation Plus. It was always cheaper.
Yeah.
And back in PS3, like, it was a real value. Like,
it was free, wasn't it?
Well, PlayStation Network was free to play. Mm-hmm. But if you bought PlayStation Plus back on PlayStation, like, the Instant Game Collection is what they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as you signed up on PS3 for a long time, they had, like, three of their, like, top-tier games that you got for free right off the bat.
Oh, okay.
And you also got, like, it was like Uncharted and a couple of other like good games like Ratchet and Clank, and you just got those for signing up for PlayStation Plus. And that was at any time, and then they also gave you two new games a month. And when the Vita came out, you know, it extended over to the Vita, so you had the one subscription cover both of them. You got games for your Vita and games for your
PS3.
That's
what my Vita turned into, was just my PS Plus machine.
Yep, yeah. Mine too.
I mean, now if you have all three of those and you're still doing for $24 a month, you're getting six games for free, which would be good if they weren't a bunch of indie games.
It also, yeah, I mean, the PS3 lineup has been strong. Like, I won't you know, try to undersell that. Like, they've done, like, the Dishonored Ultimate Collection. Like, they've Sleeping Dogs, Watch Dogs. Like,
the history of PlayStation 3 game, or the Instant Game Collection from PlayStation Plus, was awesome.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten a really, like, Tropico is the only thing you could argue has been good from the Instant Game Collection recently.
Rocket League.
Rocket League was almost a year ago.
And that's still, that was only a $20 game.
Right.
Yeah. But it's also the only reason I have Rocket League. They just did NBA 2K16, which was a year old, just shy of a year old.
It was right after finals, so it was right after it was outdated.
Yep. Because 17 isn't out yet, but it's...
It'll be coming out in fall, late fall. Like, I think 2K usually comes out in November.
No, it comes out before the basketball season.
Or is it October?
It would be October. Yeah. Or actually, maybe September, because it usually comes out a month before.
Because I know Madden just came out.
It already came out?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Madden comes out in July.
Yeah, Madden came out, like, last week.
Yeah, it usually comes out in August.
I'm going to be buying Madden soon.
But why?
August?
I like playing Madden.
Oh, yeah, it would be August. Yeah, never mind. Because I keep forgetting it's already August.
Are you that desperate to play for the Rams in L.A.?
Yeah, it's September 20th for 2K17. The Instant Game Collection on PlayStation Plus has not been
good
in a while.
Yeah.
Like I said, Rocket League was the last really good thing, in my opinion, that we got. Well, we've gotten some solid indie games out of it, don't get me wrong.
I love Rogue Legacy, I think is what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
I got that, but that was almost... Two years ago. I was living in Jackson when that came out, so.
Spelunky was really cool.
I don't even download them. Grim Fandango was another one.
Yeah, Grim Fandango was good. Like I said, they've had
I add them to my library on the off chance that I... They end up But then I'm like, oh, wait, I only have 500 gigs on my PS4. So I'm never going to have room for this. So.
Yeah,
so
that's why I don't do it. I don't even bother with
it. Yeah, one day I'm going to buy a bigger hard drive for my PS4, but I just...
One day.
Because it is really annoying only having 500 gigabytes, especially like if I want to have any digital games. But yeah, like it's been a while since PlayStation Plus has been good, and Games with Gold has been solid.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, they just had WWE 2K16.
Which, I mean, even though the new game comes out in a month, in a, like 2 weeks, it's still a great value for anybody that like wants it. It's still a really solid game.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to... Man, why is the internet just moving real slow right now? Yeah, like, okay, so the games you can get right now with the Games with Gold, it's Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate, which was still a popular game, like, still fairly pricey. WWE 2K16 Spelunky, which I just mentioned, is a great game. Because they have, like, you get two Xbox One games and two arcade games.
Which is a great way to do it.
Yeah,
like that's a really smart. So you actually get like physical disc releases as well as indie games.
Mm-hmm. And you also get Beyond Good and Evil. And I say it's arcade games, like they are 360 versions of the games. But since the Xbox One is now backwards compatible,
right?
With most of the library, like it's just available. But yeah, you get Warriors Orochi 3, WWE 2K16, Tumblestone, Spelunky, and Beyond Good and Evil HD. And Beyond Good and Evil is a good game.
Yeah, that's like a cult classic. That's something people have been... Well, that HD remake was kind of their answer to the, please make a new one. Please, please give us a new game.
Yeah, Games with Gold is awesome. Like, I wish... And I still, like... I kind of blame the Destiny group for the reason that I have a PS4. Because I would not have had one, like, had everybody not said, we're going to get Destiny on PS4.
Microsoft killed it for me in the lineup, or, like, the build-up to the new generation of consoles.
Yeah.
Their handling of critiques, as well as just most of their policies that they... Well, we can't just change them. Oh, no. Okay, hey, guess what? We changed them.
There was one dude that was...
And he sold me a PS4.
Yeah, I give Microsoft credit. Like, that one guy, he screwed up real bad. I mean, they obviously, Microsoft as a whole made these decisions.
Right.
But then the PR, he wasn't even the PR guy.
He was just, he just turned into one.
Yeah, the guy that did all the talking, he turned himself into a voice box, whatever you want to call it. He did not do well. He got fired.
Yeah.
He got let go. And I like, we talk about, like, how Microsoft really screwed up in the beginning, but... I mean, they have really turned it around. Like, they made it to where you didn't have to buy the Kinect with it. They introduced backwards compatibility. They introduced games with gold because PlayStation Plus was doing their instant game collection, which, so it was just kind of their answer to
it. Except for that third one. Actually, even maybe that third one. Like, all three of those were things that they just said, well, that's just not possible. That's not just something that we can do. We understand that you hate it, and we're alienating a lot of you, but, you know, too bad. Pre-orders. Let's look. Oh, let's see how many people pre-ordered our system. Hey, guys, wait, hang on. Just, well, okay, we thought about it. We're going to put in some real hard work and make it so you don't have to buy this stupid Kinect thing.
Hey, Craig, can you open that back up that we were going to do? Just hit that button.
That will never do a quarter of the stuff we're going to show you at E3.
Yeah.
The lie box.
The lie box. But no, like, they have, I understand, like, they said, like, no, guys, please, don't, why are you getting mad at us about this? But then they fixed it. Like, the whole DRM thing.
They went kicking and screaming, though, which is they did it, but they clearly don't want to. And as soon as they get a chance, they're going to try to do it again. I guarantee it.
See, that I don't believe. Like, I disagree with them trying to do it again. In my opinion, they learned their lesson. They fixed it.
I don't know if they do.
I'm with Asa on that one. I feel like if they get another shot, they will. As long as if Sony ever agrees to it.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, and this is why I hate this logic that you guys both have right now. Like, somebody does something that we don't like, and we tell them, hey, not okay. That's not cool. And they're like, but it is cool. And then we're like, no, really, it's not cool. They're like, all right, fine, it's not cool, fix it. And then you're like, well, that's cool, but, you know, still screw you. I hate that. Because all that really teaches them is that, you know what? Like, you already screwed up. We're never giving you another chance again. So why try to fix anything?
To me, it's just because there's too many other corporations that as soon as they, like, oh, we're sorry. And then they just kind of revert back to it. Like with Netflix, when they tried to, like, split off into the – when they separated the digital – service and the mailing service.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's terrible. But now we're already back to the price hike because Netflix is going up in price this month.
Yeah, it went up by this month or last month.
So
what is it now, $9.99?
Yeah,
it went up this month because that's what I'm paying.
Well, it went up for, like, it's been $9.99 for new subscribers for a while now.
Yeah. But like people like me who started it whenever they first started doing digital stuff.
Yeah, like back in 2005.
It was like, only I've like been a member 7 for a or 8. Time. I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was $7.99.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like, oh, well, we understand that a lot of people are upset about our price hike, so we're going to trail off on that. Oh, hey, just so you guys know, we're hoping it's been long enough that you forget about it, but we're going to do a price hike.
Honestly.
Which, and with Netflix, I understand. Like, okay, you know, they're cranking out a bunch of new original material. Like,
yes.
Like, I can actually kind of tell where that money's going to go.
The service that I paid $7.99 for back in 2005 is unrecognizable from the service that I was paying $7.99 for until last month.
Yeah.
Like, they earned their extra $2 a month. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, like that, I'm okay.
When
they first mentioned, like, well, we're doing a price hike, and that was before they really started just pumping out the Netflix originals. I'm like, why? And now that we've got all these Netflix originals, like all this new stuff they're popping out, I'm like, all right.
I still kind of want.
No, we're good.
I still would rather get kind of quicker turnaround on TV shows.
Yeah,
especially like stuff like the like. I hate it when I have to binge watch season 2 of a show. If I have any sort of hope of getting caught up for season 3 when it's actually on the air.
I mean, that's Netflix. Like, that's the...
And that's always been Netflix, but it's like, if I'm paying this extra...
Well, I mean, that's not Netflix. Like, that's not Netflix's decision.
Oh, no, yeah.
That is the deal they make with the TV
channels and networks, yeah.
With the networks, yeah, like for CW, the deal they've got coming up soon after CW's deal with Hulu expires, the way it's going to work on Netflix, as soon as the season ends, the entire season will be available like within a month on Netflix.
Yeah, do want. Give me that. Yeah, that's almost so, what Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching season one and then like a month later, oh, look, season two's up. Like, what?
Because I think NBC has got a deal similar to that with Netflix since... Yeah, NBC is owned by Disney, right? Like, I'm not making that up. Or is it ABC? ABC is, that,
ABC yeah, is owned by mind. Disney.
Yeah, NBC is not owned by Disney.
Mm. Nope.
No.
GE.
Yeah, that's right.
And Paws.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dirty Rock.
yeah, that's right. but yeah, no, like, well, we got way off topic again.
Well, I mean, with like with the price jump up, like the Xbox One, like it wasn't. I mean, yes, the one dude was the most vocal. But it's like, he wasn't exactly like way out of line. It's just like, oh, see, if we had someone whose job it was to announce these things, that would be okay because he wouldn't be just a rampant D-bag about it.
Yeah, cause, well, that's the thing. Like
this
it wasn't
guy was just
so
straight
much
up insulting.
Because they asked them about, like, they asked the dude about, well, what about people that don't have, you know, a high-speed internet connection? Like,
well, play your 360.
Well, no, because he actually said something like,
"Why would you want?
Why would you? Why would you want to live somewhere where there's not high speed internet?"
Yeah.
What was the response, Asa?
Well, I'm deployed, so it's not like I have a choice.
Yeah,
well.
No, like, and anybody else, like anybody with any kind of smart PR, was like, and in the, even in like their department, they're like, you know what? We really didn't think that through, like, and they fixed it.
Yeah, which is good, and but and, I'm just there's companies like Ubisoft and EA and. Especially video game companies. Video game companies are kind of notorious for, nah, double finger, you're going to buy it anyway.
And see, that's the, and I also hate that mentality, but I don't think that's the mentality Microsoft has had. And that's what I'm praising them about. Yeah. Because they've said, like, nah, 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 like, they, that one guy was like, no, you guys are stupid for thinking this. And Cliffy B. Cliffy B was really vocal about that, too. But yeah, they're like, well, you guys are stupid for not wanting to do this. Like, oh, wait, you guys give us money. so we're going to fire that guy that said you guys were stupid, and we're going to go ahead and make the changes you guys wanted.
Yay.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and I feel like what's going to happen, because this, something really similar happened with PlayStation 3 when it first came out. Like, it was just.
Oh, yeah, the role, it was just straight up role reversal.
Yeah.
For.
So I feel like it's just going to go right into the next gen, and we're going to flip again.
Yeah.
And it's going to be funny. But. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh yeah, and it's not. And I'm not trying. It's not like I'm putting Sony on a pedestal. Like, oh, they did everything perfectly. It's just like they sat back. They saw Microsoft not just drop the ball, but like cuss it out and kick it down the street. And they're like, hey, so all that stuff you hate, never even thought of. Like, as far as you know, as they're burning files and like shredding right. And shredding
that
stuff.
That guy, there, Craig already hit the buttons.
Yeah. So like their buildup was perfect, and Microsoft was just so terrible. And at this point, like there are no Microsoft exclusives that like I'm happy. I in no way regret having a PS4 over an Xbox One.
I mean, I don't regret it.
There's like the exclusives are, well, you have both though.
Yes. Because
you have an Xbox One.
And that was the thing. Like, that's why I wouldn't have a PS4, like, if it weren't for you guys. Like,
yeah.
I would be playing on Xbox One because I already had an Xbox One. I bought a PS4 because literally all of my friends were like, we're going to play Destiny on this.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And Destiny was the game that I was the most excited about. yeah, I don't know. Well, we won't visit that, but we have actually talked about.
Speaking of disappointing, overhyped releases.
We had another thing before that.
I know. I'm being a jerk.
but anyway, yeah, that. Yeah, PlayStation Plus going up in price for no reason.
For no reason. Except it's not funny.
Nope. PS4, though, like continuing their news, the PlayStation 4 Slim, pictures of that leaked on the internet. It looks real dumb.
Boy, do we wish it was better.
It looks so cheap.
It does. Like, it is slimmer. It is smaller. It still has the eraser style, but it's an all matte surface. It just,
see,
Google it,
and,
folks.
And I like the matte surface.
I do, too.
But I don't like the fact that it kind of looks like it's a Betamax. Like, it looks real 90s to me. I don't know why.
Because it's all the round edges, I'm sure.
Maybe.
It's round edges and it's flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just
doesn't look good.
It looks kind of silly.
Yeah, it just really doesn't look good.
I mean, if it starts at like $250,
it won't.
I mean, it won't.
It's going to be $350.
But like, if it starts at $250, that's all right. Good. Good on that. I don't know what kind of. I think it says there might be a terabyte. I don't know how you're going to fit a terabyte hard drive in that thing and still have all the room for the components.
Wait,
hard drives don't get bigger the more memory they have, buddy.
They yeah.
That's, but that's not.
Oh, is that not how?
No, it's not 1975 anymore. Well, it hasn't been for a while.
Dalton's a dum-dum.
So, it looks
like
stupid.
I'm going to give you an out. Do you? Is that really how you think hard drives work, or are you doing a bit?
Doing a bit.
Oh, your eyes are saying that you're not.
Well, like, I know whenever I was looking into it, whenever I was looking to switch out my hard drive for my PS4, I was, like, having to figure out the hard drive issues, like figuring out which hard drive fit. So I was like, how are you going to get the same powered hard drive?
I know what happened
We don't have enough time to get into why you're so wrong.
Okay, cool.
You're just so very wrong.
I know exactly what happened, and I'll talk to you about it after the show.
All right, cool.
It's funny.
All right.
so yeah, PS4 Slim. It's hitting the market. It doesn't look pretty. Unlike the Xbox One Slim, which I actually think is a sexy looking console. Which hit the market recently.
The Slim already release?
The Xbox One S.
Huh.
I mean, this generation of consoles in general, I don't think looks great.
No.
Like, I mean, the Wii U looks fine if it wasn't for that stupid controller.
It looks like just a long Wii.
Yeah. which looks, it's very unassuming. The PS4, like, I don't get the diagonal kind of eraser shape, but whatever.
I do know their logic behind that, and I didn't think it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everybody's got, you know, their entertainment centers where they just shove everything all the way back to the back and then have cables coming through a little hole.
Mm-hmm.
You put the eraser thing in there, and it doesn't block the fans. It has, like, place to move out.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that was their logic.
Well, at least in the back, but, like, the front is kind of
they wanted to keep that eraser look going because they figured it maybe it would have looked weird asymmetrical.
I guess you can argue it looks kind of sleek and neat,
yeah,
but and then the Xbox One just looks kind of clunky. The One
looks
S
like
looks,
a VHS. It looks like an old school
VHS player,
VHS DVD combo.
Yeah, it really does, with the disc drive on the left, and then you could just put in a tape right on the right. And then the One S just kind of, to me, it just kind of looks like shrink ray.
Yeah, it like it has a little bit different, like it's got it a kind of a memory. Cool it's got like a cool
this
mesh
is your
style
life now.
Yeah, the chat is gonna be rough for you for the next week.
Yeah, you might just want to sign out of Facebook for like give it a week.
Yeah, no, I like
until
the
your apology
the
on Wednesday
has. Also, folks, Xbox is in no way paying me for any of these comments. I've just always been an Xbox fanboy.
If Microsoft was paying us, we wouldn't need a Patreon.
You are not wrong.
I wouldn't have a PS4 if Xbox One was paying us.
Which I understand.
Or
like,
Microsoft.
I understand your viewpoint on it. And yeah, I get how that's kind of a terrible attitude to have. It's just, I'm so sick of corporations just like pretending that they really...
That they really care.
When it's just like, okay, well, they're not going to give us our money. What do we have to do to get them to give us our money?
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that, too. It's just, I feel like whenever a corporation listens to and accommodates the market, then they should be praised for it instead of like, well, because it seems like it's a saying that my dad used to give me, you know, back in the day. It takes a whole lot of attaboys to knock out one that was bad.
Yeah,
that's what my dad always used to tell me. And he used to tell me that in terms of grades. Like, if I ever got a bad grade, he's like, it's going to take a whole lot of good grades to be able to make up for that one bad grade in my eyes. I'm like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Anyway, we'll move toward to something. Speaking of bad, and just, you know, no amount of attaboys is ever going to fix this. No Man's Sky. The player base is down 90%.
That's a lot.
Yeah, the game's less than a month old, and it's already lost 90% of its player base.
They should pull a Battleborn and blame Overwatch. Be like, no, it's Overwatch's fault. That's why we can't keep players.
that juggernaut won't stop.
Yeah. It's definitely not the 50 lies we told
Sombra.
To get people. Everybody's playing that damn ARG.
Now, people are getting real sick of that now because it's
yeah. Scary. I was sick of it that episode.
I will say too, because I've actually been keeping up with it now, and the reason people are sick of it is because, and I know we're going off topic and we don't have to do this long, but people are sick of it now because, as opposed to just like, I just have to put in the work and then eventually I will get more. It's now at just a dead wall where it's a countdown timer.
Yep, we are waiting until it hits either 23% or 100%. Go ahead and look up the ARG, folks, if you're curious about what that means. But yeah, that seems to be what we're waiting on. And it's, yeah, I don't like the waiting game.
If it's 100%, we're going to get her. Sombra's going to be the
October
first character.
October 12th.
Oh, is it?
That's what people calculated it out.
Then I was
to.
Assuming it was going to be Overwatch 2. She was going to be the first announced character. Because isn't it going at like 0.003%?
It's like 0.0013% per hour or something like that.
No.
Yeah, no, it's gross. Yeah, we'll go ahead and move past that, though. We're back to No Man's Sky, down 90%. There was a bug going around for a little while about discoveries not being saved. It's at this point, it's so bad. There's so many features and so many things that aren't in the game that were supposed to be that Steam, Sony, and Amazon are all issuing refunds, regardless of their normal policy is like you can't have so much time in it to get a refund.
Yeah, I think Steam's is like 2 hours.
Yeah, like if you have hours in the game, then you can't get a refund on it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with some of the other things, but yeah, no, they're straight up saying like no, yeah. We understand they're the ones that screwed up. They're the ones that lied about what was in the game. So here's your money back.
There was a video I showed Calvin and Branham both. It was like a new disappointment discovered. And it was like an 18-minute video of just like clips of, I can't remember the guy's name, but that lead developer of Hello Games.
I don't know.
Where he was talking
Sean
about.
Sean something, I think. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, yeah, it's going to be all of that. Like, yeah, you're going to be playing with your friends, multiplayer, blah, blah, blah. And then it just will immediately cut to that scene of the two streamers who met up on the same planet.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't actually interact with each other because they can't see each other.
Because that was the thing. Like, it felt like Hello Games was trying to say, like, no, yeah, you can totally play with your friends, but good luck finding them. Ha ha. Oh, you found each other.
Oh, man, two players found each other in the first day. My mind is blown. So what about the fact that they can't see each other?
My mind is blown.
My favorite one being sweaty game developer lies at high speed. And then, like, that guy's Twitter page is the first result when you Google that phrase.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Oh, that's bad. That's real bad. Yeah, no, like, No Man's Sky has just been disappointment after disappointment after disappointment.
And I think, and to be completely fair, like, none of us here have played it.
Correct.
Mm-mm. Calvin plays it. He seems to enjoy it.
He has stopped now. He's just playing Overwatch.
Is he?
Yeah.
Because I know he didn't mind it as much because if you know what it is going into it, like, what it actually is, like, that definitely has an appeal to people. Like, yeah. I can see why people would enjoy it. It's just kind of like a zen... You just go out, you explore, collect stuff, sell it off. Like, okay, cool. But it's not what he was saying it was going
to
be.
Yeah, that game is not what was advertised to me.
Yeah.
And, like, there were a few things that I found out before the game that, fortunately, I was like, okay, cool, will not buy.
Because I distinctly remember going when Lee and I went up to St. Louis 2 years ago, I guess, for that E3 when Sony was doing their theater experience. Like, seeing that trailer for the first time and just being like, I'm going to go pre-order that now. Like, this thing looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, like, I didn't. But then, like, the more it comes out, and it's just like, oh. Oh. And then it actually released, and I'm like, oh, man, I was so hyped for this game. Let's see what's... No. <mm-mm.
laughs> Nope, never mind. Staying far away from that. Yes. Yeah, no, it's just not good. Not good. And... You know, no multiplayer functionality, no, just so many things are lacking. It's unlikely that anybody will see your actual discovery, like...
You won't find anyone else's. The video has him talking about, like, well, I could have ended the trailer on some giant, you know, the camera panning up and a giant monster appearing out of nowhere, but, you know, that just seems... And then it immediately cuts to that original trailer that has the giant, like, thing chasing the smaller thing, knocking over trees, like...
Uh-huh.
And then it immediately cuts to the giant Tyrannosaurus thing with the butterfly wings... flying around.
Yes.
It's just like, oh.
Yep. So, with games that I'm actually excited about again, speaking of hype, Adult Swim Games is publishing a new Toe Jam and Earl game called Back in the Groove. And they released a trailer for it. Did either of you play Toe Jam and Earl back in the day?
Yes, but I was a dumb kid, so I didn't understand it, and I got frustrated. I just quit. Same with Echo the Dolphin. I never realized... As, like, up until maybe, like, 3 years ago, that you have to jump over the wall in that, the first time you boot it up. So I'm just like, this is just a stupid, like, I'm a dolphin swimming around this, like, box. There's nothing to do in this game. This is stupid.
It's so unfortunate because Echo the Dolphin is such a good game.
Oh, I've gone back and I have that Sega Masterworks on Steam.
Oh yeah.
So I think I'm gonna eventually. I mean, I am gonna play through it. But yeah, I just felt so, like when I saw the first playthrough of it, I was like, someone's playing Echo the Dolphin? What? Watch immediately jumps over the wall. Oh, I'm. Schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
The largest puzzle piece dropped into place.
I was a little touched.
Me and my little brother loved the Toe Jam and Earl games. They were hilarious. They were just fun to play through and screw around in. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to play this game. It looks neat. I hope it's not going to release at $60, but it looks real neat.
I haven't seen the trailer. So is it like kind of that borderline?
It still has isometric? The isometric grid view from the looks of it.
Is it 3D or is it keeping that animated style?
It's still keeping the animated style.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
And they do a little rap about it, like in the trailer. I'll show you guys afterward. Like, it was pretty good. And those of you listening out there, I recommend checking it out. It was an entertaining little trailer. Though I don't know if nostalgia is going to, I don't know how well the game will ride on pure nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm cautious about it, but I'm still a little hyped because I freaking love Toe Jam and Earl.
And Adult Swim does some pretty interesting stuff with just the games on their website.
Yeah,
true. Like Robot Unicorn Attack. And I just got that stupid Racer song stuck in my head just by saying that. But I love that game.
Pocket Morty's was also really good.
Yeah, I never got as much. I never got super into that, which is really a disappointment because I love Rick and Morty so much. Yeah.
Their Surgeon game was always something that I was a big fan of.
Yeah,
I
always the had Surgeon that. Simulator.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I always had that downloaded on any system that I could, like on my handhelds.
Yeah, it's just super neat. And with speaking of Rick and Morty,
mm-hmm.
We've got Justin Roiland of Rick and Morty is launching a VR studio called Squanchtendo.
That's my favorite name.
Which is, for those of you that don't watch Rick and Morty, that is a throwback to a phrase or a character that uses that phrase over and over
his
again.
His name's Squanchy, and he's kind of like the Smurfs. So he just puts, Squanchy doesn't mean anything. You just put it in the sentence, and your heart knows.
Yep.
Your heart recognizes the squanch of it.
Oh yeah, no, it's a great character, great name, and I'm interested to see where this goes. And it's also got one of the producers from Epic Games is involved in this as well.
Yeah, so there's some star power to it, and they've already got the. I don't know if it was a demo or full like Rick's Garage, where it's a VR you can kind of mess around. It has the video that I always see is the Plumbus,
which the Plumbus is a mystery to me. And I understand it's that on purpose.
It's 100% that on purpose. But it also, what it reminds me of is which is weird that it's come back, like, in the group chat recently.
Mm-hmm.
The SNL skit, Happy Fun Ball.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Rick and Morty version of that. Do not get Plombus wet. Do not mock the Plombus. Do not mock the Happy Fun Ball.
It's really interesting. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with that, though. Like, we've talked about before, VR right now, where it's at, I'm not interested.
Mm-mm.
Maybe one day we'll see, but also with Rick and Morty,
mm-hmm.
Dan Harmon, the other creative half
mm-hmm.
of Rick and Morty, is been called from Marvel to work on some bonus scenes or additional footage for Doctor Strange.
Which I feel like this is real close to release. Isn't Doctor Strange supposed to come out in like the next?
It's this year, I'm pretty sure.
November.
No, it's not. It's early next year.
No,
is it? I thought
it's
it was
November.
In the next. Is it November? I thought it was the next.
I'm
months.
Almost positive it's November.
Jesse, gonna look it up.
I'm gonna look it up
because it's because I know like it's
filming wrapped up in April.
Yeah,
I know that for sure. Yeah, it's November 4th.
Yeah,
well,
so
that's
it's
4 days before my birthday.
Ooh,
yeah.
I got one right. One.
That's why we keep you around.
I know that like movies always do end up doing reshoots and stuff like that. Just
mm-hmm.
I this is the first one being like, oh, that is like legitimately 3 months away. Because not only is it like you have that time period from the end of August now to November 4th to write, shoot, produce CGI.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes you think it's not going to be CGI scenes.
Because yeah, I imagine it's going to be some super basic stuff, and it may actually even just be like some marketing material.
Oh, yeah.
Or even, yeah, some bonus dialogue in places, extra scenes even. Like, I'm not sure. But apparently this is not a new thing with Marvel. They typically do shoot additional footage. It's just, you know, it not usually this late in the game, I guess.
Yeah.
They typically do it either right after or right before film wraps up.
Well, like I said, like, or even, yeah, like, because Suicide Squad got those reshoots, like, as filming was still kind of...
Yeah, it was almost done, and yeah, they started reshooting. So, yeah, I don't know. I love Dan Harmon, though.
Yeah, I trust Marvel. I love Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
His show has almost got me considering buying a subscription to CISO, just so I can see his D&D Adventures thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically, for those that don't know, he, on his podcast, Harmontown, that started a couple years ago, he literally just pulled a kid out of the crowd named Spencer. And had him DM a game for them, just like a quick little Dungeon and Dragon thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, we were going to do a rotating cast of just people who wanted to DM, but we picked Spencer, and he did awesome this first game, so we just kind of had him continue to do it, and then he slowly just became their friend and like part of the show. So then they ended up recording and doing an entire session with like special guest stars doing stuff. Like every time he had guests, like they would just play this new character that popped up, and but they animated it, and now that's going to be on this streaming service.
Sounds super cool.
Yeah, and I love Dan Harmon. I love Spencer. If you watch his documentary that's on Netflix called Harmontown, it actually ends up kind of focusing on him, which is neat.
Yeah, that's super cool. And I mean,
he's Annie's brother in that episode of Community.
Really?
Yeah, huh. That's him. Because he went from kid in the crowd to their dungeon master to his personal dungeon master to his personal assistant. And it was his personal. He was his personal assistant while he was working on Community.
And it just really goes to show you, luck will go a long way.
Oh yeah. Also, that character of Annie's brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically, he wrote that for him because that's just what he is. Just real deadpan, and
that's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's
great. I need to look this up because I this is the first I'm hearing of any of that. Obviously, I know about Harmontown and everything else, but right. Yeah, this is the first I've heard of Spencer.
Oh, Spencer's awesome. I love you, Spencer.
Hopefully, he's listening. Oh man, that would be awesome.
Oh, don't put that pressure on me. I can't handle that.
Ace is out. Well, we'll go ahead and distract you a little bit with Ironheart. A little bit more news about that. So for those of you that haven't been listening to last week's Nerd Up or last week's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, we talked about, or quite a bit about, the new Iron Man, Riri Williams.
Mm-hmm.
She's a 15-year-old black girl, built her own suit, like super cool storyline, everything else. She's going to be... taking Tony Stark's spot, mm-hmm. I guess, in the Invincible Iron Man story. And she will be called Iron Heart because they thought Iron Woman sounded kind of clunky. And obviously, agreed, they can't call her Iron Man.
Right.
So, yeah, Iron Heart. Downside, Iron Heart already exists.
Does DC own it?
No.
Kaboom Comics.
Uh-uh.
Dark Horse.
Nope.
You can't say Dark Horse.
You are so far away. So far off.
Boom?
Not even close. Don't think
we're comic book publishers? Warner Brothers.
Uh-uh.
Activision.
No, you guys are never going to get this in a million years.
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Porn parody. That's not a company. No, dibs.
Not yet. Right? That's 1985. A product of porn parody.
Ironheart. I hope that they did Google it. And there's like, nobody's going to realize this.
So I have so many just trademark questions. Like, did they? Because they you have to do a search. Like, you have to make sure that, no, I want to name my character this.
They may have just done like a trademark search.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's not a registered trademark.
And assume that, there's no
it.
Registered trademark, so
because,
there's not
importantly,
to...
it's not an American porn parody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a JAV, which is a Japanese adult video, for those unawares.
I was unawares.
I had to Google it.
I'm sure you did. Wink.
It brought up a whole bunch of interesting things, guys.
Yeah, don't Google that.
I'd avoid Googling it at anywhere that people are going to look at your stuff. So
incognito mode. Just...
So yeah, it's a Japanese adult video featuring a female Iron Man called Iron Heart. And I don't know if that's a translation issue or if they also thought Iron Woman sounded weird.
But firsthand, if they did, they are going way too indie. Never mind. Never mind.
I love the idea that the JAV company had the same thought process as Marvel Creative. It's like, I don't know. This sounds kind of clunky.
So, yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have registered a trademark in Japan because it's not like they weren't marketing it to the U.S. It's unnecessary. Their trademark laws are completely different from ours. So, I'm sure that whenever Marvel decided on that, you know, they searched like an actual trademark database to see if it was open.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. It is. Or they bought it from the porn parody people. I don't know.
And then just hoped that no one would Google it.
I hope that porn parody place took a picture of that check.
I you know, what I want is for someone to have seen it at some point and like, now wait a minute. I've seen that video. And then they posted it to the internet, and now everybody knows.
It's going to be a big race thing. Like, she wasn't black in the movie. Be like,
it's going to be a new Zendaya, just way worse.
She was Japanese in the movie.
Not my Ironheart. My waifu was offended.
It got the body pillow of the Japanese Ironheart, which I understand that it's difficult to Google. But if you can find a picture of the actual Ironheart, it's interesting the similarities between that and, you know, Iron Man's costume, because it is supposed to be a porn parody of Iron Man, and it's funny.
It's made out of cardboard boxes.
No, it actually looks pretty legit.
Does it really?
Yeah. Okay, so is this not an older thing? Because I thought this was from like early 2000s, like late
90s. Yeah, no, it is older. Like,
it's still the effects still hold up.
I haven't actually. Okay, all right. All truthfulness here. I haven't watched it. I have only seen pictures stills. Of the girl. Yeah, I've seen stills of the girl in the costume, and only in the costume. Importantly,
only in the costume.
Only in the costume. I thought about looking it up, but it doesn't. Iron Man doesn't interest me that much.
That's the appeal.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the deal.
The thing that plays out in my head is like just some guy goes to a porno store and he's mad because you only have the X-Men porn parody. I want the Inhuman porn parody.
Oh, I thought that was
chick with the long hair. It just gets me.
He just leaves empty-handed. Just in a huff. Like, oh.
So, yeah. I hopefully this doesn't like explode or anything because it's not like it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
To me, it's a funny coincidence.
Like, that's what I'm thinking too.
Hey, look at the thing. Unfortunately, I've been to the internet.
Oh, the internet's already gone wild with it.
So I've been,
fortunately, Marvel hasn't let the internet decide yet what she's going to be called. So they haven't changed it. It's still Ironheart,
which I would much rather them just keep that name because I like that name.
That's a neat name.
I think it's going to be cool. But anyway, yeah, that's a thing. Next deal, and this is a topic that's kind of important to me because I like Bane, the character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I liked that Bane, too. I had my issues with that movie in general, and I had my issues with the ending, but I still liked Tom Hardy's Bane.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was cool. I mean, it's not the traditional, but that's fine. But I like Bane as a character.
Right.
And it's really unfortunate that ever since basically the original storyline where they introduced him, he was this
Nightfall.
Nightfall, yeah. He's the super awesome like mastermind. He was the only person that has ever beaten Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
Superman, take note.
You just got to meet him in the cave and break his back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
Because, yeah, Bane figured out who he was. Bane figured out everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, messed up Batman's day. Like, Bane for a long time was a big deal with Nightfall. But he slowly but surely kind of drifted into C-list villain. And then he became an anti-hero for a little while because they thought the Nolan movies would hype him up. Like, I don't...
Which, I liked him as an anti-hero. Because he's never been... There's so many iterations of Bane.
Mm-hmm.
My favorites always being the same with Hulk. Like there's variations where super genius or like borderline super genius military tactician with just crazy strength to...
That has an addiction.
Yeah, who has an addiction to just straight up roid rage, incoherent monster.
Right.
Which is always the worst version of that character.
I.e. Batman and Robin.
Don't...
The worst iteration of Bane ever.
Worst.
Absolutely nothing like Bane. Because whenever, like, the Bane that Asa was talking about, the good version of Bane, the Bane we got in Nightfall, mm-hmm. whenever he pops the Venom, like, he's already a buff dude, like, a big dude will just, you know, shatter you with a hard look.
Right.
He pops the Venom, and he becomes even stronger, faster, smarter.
Yeah.
Like,
just, that... It boosts everything, including his mental capacities, which is often lost in the Venom stuff.
Yes.
So the reason that I like him as an anti-hero is because he's never really been outright evil. Like, he was never a criminal mastermind.
Yeah. I always like to think of Bane as, like, he would be, in my opinion, and Hunter will probably correct me on this, but I've always thought of Bane as a chaotic neutral. Like, he will do basically whatever he wants to do, like, mm-hmm. that's right for him.
Right.
Whether it's good or evil, it doesn't really matter. He just wants to do what's right for Bane.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, it almost kind of reminds me of almost like a Kraven the Hunter, where it's like, oh, here's someone. This is a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm bored. I'm gonna go mess this dude's day up because I can, It's why I liked the Riddler in the Flash run, a couple months ago before
I can't
Rebirth.
Beat Batman, so
it's like well, Gotham's kind of a wash at this point. This dude's just fast. I can beat him.
Put some oil on the floor. Spray down some.
Oh, he does so much better. Oh, really? So much better.
That story was actually really good.
It was really good. But so I've always loved Bane because he's super smart. He's super strong. Just he's got the big old muscles.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use his action figure as a wrestling figure.
He had the luchador look.
He did. It didn't really work because the Batman figures were like smaller scaled. But I didn't care. I was just like, nope. He's in my head. He's just as big.
Because Bane.
Yeah.
And yeah, so anyway, Batman number 11, we got a look at the cover of that issue, or at least what's purported to be the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Batman and then a cool version, like a good-looking Bane behind him. Yeah. Like my favorite style of Bane standing behind him. All big and muscly with that super cool mask.
Yeah.
Not the Nolan mask.
And I was wrong in my concern. Because whenever I saw that, and I know because I'm currently reading Batman Detective Comics and Nightwing, all of these issues are ending with a tease for, Night of the Monster Men,
mm-hmm.
which the Monster Men is kind of there's whisperings of it in the current Batman run.
Yeah.
So I was concerned that he was just going to get lumped in with that.
Which would make me really sad. I'm hoping that by 11, like, the Night of the Monster Men arc isn't going to run for very long.
And it's not, because it looks like it's going to start in Batman number 7. Part 1 is there. Part 2 is going to be in Nightwing. Part 3 in Detective Comics. And then the next three part. And then there's only going to be three more parts, which Batman 8. So by then, we may even get, like, two whole new story arcs between now and the time Bane.
Yeah.
Or Bane is introduced earlier, and this is just the first cover featuring him.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, basically it goes to Batman 8, and then Batman 9 and 10 would start a story involving Bane, and then Bane actually shows up on the cover in 11. Or Bane may even be on an earlier cover, because I don't know if we've seen the Batman 10 cover.
If we have, I don't remember them.
You can go on DC and find it, because that's where I found the 11.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So,
because I just looked it up.
So Batman 11 is on DC's website with Bane in the background?
DC Comics.
Okay, so
Comics.
Not purported.
Yep.
It's there.
It's there, yep.
I'm really excited. I really, really hope they give Bane the treatment he deserves. Because he is an awesome villain. He is an A-list villain.
I think they will. I'm a little disappointed we never really got a good... Scott Snyder never did a Bane. Yeah. Didn't do a Bane story.
Nope. Though he might in All-Star.
Yeah, he could show up in All-Star.
Because we've got a bunch of deep cuts in All-Star right now.
Already, yep. Yeah, just that first issue with Firefly, Killer Moth, and Gentleman Ghost. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
really?
Like, where'd you find these guys, Scott?
Especially because I'm also, like, I wanted... There's a couple images floating around of Greg Capullo drawing Bane.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want an extended look at that.
Yes.
Just, because Greg Capullo and
Bane.
Because he already draws his characters nice and built and stocky and...
Like, yeah, Greg Capullo is probably my favorite Batman artist in a really long time. And by probably, he's my favorite Batman artist in a really, really long time. I say really, really long time because I can't think of another artist that I like
especially
more.
Especially
because
he's been doing this one for like 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
In the Detective Comics and Justice League, he's looked fine, but it's iconic the way he's drawing him.
Capullo's art has been like, it's top quality.
100%.
Top quality. I can't think of another
artist.
This
new run
in a
looks
while.
Good. Like, I have no complaints about the art.
No. Like, or the story. Like, I've been enjoying the.
Yeah, it's. I like that. Yeah.
I think I'm like an issue behind at this point, but yeah, I've been enjoying the
Psycho
whole.
Psycho Pirate, I'm kind of like, oh, really? That's a.
It's an interesting pull.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice, but.
Yeah, okay. No, the whole Gotham Girl, Gotham and Gotham Girl. Like,
I'm so glad that I was wrong about that, too.
Yeah.
Where I thought that was going to go.
So it's gone interesting places.
Yeah.
All right, so we've only got a little bit of time left, and I want to go ahead and do a shout-out to one of our Patreons. One of our big deals is if you donate enough money, we give you a plug every week. And the plug they wanted this week is for Extra Life. Press start to join is Josh Shinfields. I think that's his last name.
Shinfield.
Yeah. Okay, Josh Shinfield. I'm sorry, Josh. His new Press Start to Join is his podcast. They are doing an event for Extra Life, which we did last year. If you guys don't remember, maybe you're new listeners or whatever. But Extra Life is this cool little charity thing where you basically play video games or do random nerdy things for charity. Like, mm-hmm. You have people donate money to you, and that goes to a random charity. Last year, we did D&D for this, and we lost a couple of friends in the process. But anyway, so this year, though, Press Start to Join, I wanted to plug them here. They are going to, let's see, I got the email pulled up here. They're doing Extra Life this year, which they're doing a gaming marathon for theirs, and the proceeds are going to go to a children's hospital in their city. And based on how far they can get to that goal, Josh and Alan, the other member of Press Start to Join, have a challenge. Alan will be playing Dark Souls on a deprived run. I don't know enough about Dark Souls to know what that means. And Josh will be playing Arkham Asylum on the hardest difficulty for at least 3 hours each. And then if you guys wanted to donate, they have a team page set up already. It's extra-life.org/team/PS2J show. And then you can check out the roster. And if for some reason you want to donate to an individual, not the group, but our challenge is based on the team's fundraising, not the individual. And then the rest of it's just to me. So I won't read off any more of it. But yeah, no, definitely check those guys out. Josh has been donating to our podcast for a little while now. He's been a huge support. Check out his podcast, Press Start to Join. He's on Facebook. You can find him there pretty easy. And yeah, real cool guys.
And then I have this isn't anything from our Patreon, but a little bit of nerdy news. Anybody that knows that I'm a big fan of action figures, mm-hmm. You guys have actually seen his videos before too through me. But Glenn Webb, who is a action figure reviewer out of England, passed away in his sleep on Friday. Just complications. They're doing a GoFundMe for his family for the cost of his whatever debt he may have. So if you go on GoFundMe, honoring the memory of Glenn Webb, because he was probably my favorite action figure reviewer. I just remember whenever you said at the beginning of the show about Press Start to Join, I was like, I want to plug the GoFundMe for Glenn Webb.
Okay.
Because if you want to see really good action figure reviews and customs, go check his page out on YouTube, because I think he was just shy of 100,000 subscribers. He passed away right before he hit 100,000. So, yeah, so it's one of those things. It hit me a little bit hard when I found out Friday. So if you are on GoFundMe and you want to go for a good cause, help out Glenn Webb and his family.
That plugs on us, Glenn Webb and family.
Yeah.
And rest in peace.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Well, on that somber note, I guess we're going to go ahead and
Sombra?
End the...
Sombra?
Oh, God. That's the new five.
Oh, that's going to get really annoying until October.
I mean, it's going to be way less prominent. How many times do you hear something that sounds like Sombra versus just five?
I can make that happen. Tune in next week for how many times I can get Asa to say Sombra. Thank you all for tuning in. We've got, what do we got? Do we have a topic for Tuesday yet?
I don't think so.
Nope. Wednesday?
Big part is going to be the Cape Championship Wrestling show that mm-hmm. we all went to last mm-hmm. night.
Yeah, local wrestling. Apparently it was a really good show. It
was crazy awesome.
Yeah.
I know there's going to be some, there was some TNA news because they did their pay-per-view, but they can't afford to do pay-per-views anymore, so they just do Impact specials now. That was on Thursday.
It's a very special episode of Impact Wrestling.
Yeah. And then plus just the fallout from assuming the fallout of the giant Miz Daniel Bryan promo on Talking Smack, Raw and SmackDown review NXT, Cruiserweight Classic.
We're getting down to the final four.
The Elite Eight are going to – that starts Wednesday night, so we'll be talking about the fallout from that too.
Neat. So, yeah, check out all that on Wednesday, guys. I don't think we have anything for Thursday yet, and then we'll see you guys back here on Sunday. Later.